Chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26, verse 6. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, "She's my sister." Ladies, how'd you like your husband pull that trick on you? "Well, but you told me you loved you enough to die for me." And here you are a little bit scared about your own neck, and so all of a sudden I'm your sister, am I? I bet that just made her really love him. Anyway, he said, "She's my sister." For he feared to say, "She is my wife," lest, said he, "the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon." Now here's a man who is not willing to die for his wife. Amen. He may be a good guy a lot of other ways, but he wasn't willing to die for this girl. Verse 8. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. Here's a dead giveaway. They're not acting like brother and sister. They're acting like man and wife. Now, you have to be honest, you know, that the honest truth is, men behave differently with their wives than they do with their sisters. You know, I don't know. It's just a casual kind of a thing, but it's discernible. Almost anybody can pick up on boys. Men just don't treat sisters the same way they don't hold them the same. They don't touch them the same. They don't look at them the same. Amen. Now, I'm here to tell you, I never looked at my sister like I look at my wife. Oh, well, that's part of the reason right there. I don't have any. Verse 9, and Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Behold, of a surety she is thy wife. And how saidest thou she is my sister?" And Isaac said unto him, "Because I said, lest I die for her." Abimelech said, "What is this thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou should have brought guiltiness upon us." And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, "He that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." Let's pray. Father, help us now this evening. Give us wisdom and grace and liberty to preach. We'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to bring you a little message this evening entitled, "A Man and a Woman." And that's the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a man and a woman, a boy and a girl, a male and a female. Two genders, two sexes. That's the way God intended it, amen? And I don't care who says what, I don't care who it makes mad and who gets upset. That homosexual thing is an abomination. It's contrary to nature. It's dirty. It's wicked. The people that practice it are perverts, and they're dirty, and they're wicked, and everybody in the world ought to stand up and be against it, amen? Amen. And not be too tolerant, and don't say, "Well, you know, as long as they just stay in their little community, as long as they mind their own business, as long as they don't mess with me and my family." No, we ought to ostracize them, and I don't think you ought to kill them. I'm not in favor of that. You know, God is, and if God wants to, okay, I wouldn't say a mumbling word. Amen. But I'm not going to do it. I don't have that authority. I'm not going to encourage you to do it. But if God wants to smite them all down with AIDS and hepatitis and C and all and whatever it is, okay, Lord, help yourself. You're God. But I don't think you ought to run around killing them. I don't think you ought to beat them up. Amen. But I don't think you ought to act like they're normal either. Amen. And I don't think that sane people ought to have any debate about what is a marriage. Amen. And what is a husband and a wife. A husband and a wife is a man and a woman, and marriage is a man and a woman. And anything else, just perversion, crime against nature, whatever you want to call it. If it sounds bad, I'm for it. Amen. God intended for be a boy and a girl. Now, I know it seems like to me I preach on this a lot, but I don't know how to get around that in our society. It just, everywhere I look, things of a sexual nature are in everything you can think of. You can't sell a new car without making somebody in it sexy. You can't sell beer, which is okay with me, without having to have some sleazy girl. And I'm, you know, they make it look like, well, if you drink this beer, you get all these cool chicks. Yeah, well, most of them cool chicks have been around, and you probably get a lot more than a cool chick. Amen. You might get a real hot mama. And so I don't know how it is in our day and age, there's so many churches that aren't saying anything about the issue. It doesn't do me... Why in the world would I get up here and preach on moonshine liquor when there ain't a moonshiner in our church? Amen? And moonshine is not a problem in our area. Now, I'd be pretty safe. I could get up here and rail on moonshiners and moonshine liquors and revenue service and all that and all them rum runners up in North Carolina. And everybody said, glory to God, preacher, you're right about, boy, hallelujah. But what's the point if it ain't here? The preaching's got to be relevant, and it ought to be directed at what's going on where we at. Amen. Amen. If I want to preach on rum runners, I need to move up North Carolina where them moonshiners are. Amen. Amen. Now, what I'm saying is that preaching ought to deal with current issues, things that are a real problem in our life that are a threat to us or to our families, to our children, or to our nation. Amen. Well, in the 60s, when the sexual revolution started, people thought it was over when the flower children passed away. It wasn't. It didn't. It isn't. It is everywhere. Everything young people do today is predicated on being sexy or cool. Hot. Man, if you come to my house and looked at my little girl and said, boy, she's hot, you would be walking around with one big black eye.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to go there. I'm not. If I can help it. I tried to raise godly girls, pure girls, clean girls. And some scumbag that will come down there and look at them and lust all over them and say, oh, man, she's hot. Yeah, well, daddy really going to be hot. You want to see hot? You look over here, son. I'll show you hot. Anyway, I'm just kind of ranting. I have an outline. I just don't know if I'm going to go by it. It's one thing about being behind a pulpit. I have no constraints. The world, as far as I can tell, has always been consumed with the boy-girl relationship. You know, there must be a problem in America where if the number and the brands of help aids for dysfunctional men are any indication of the size and intensity of the problem, America is in fact impotent. Some of y'all just sitting there. Aren't you tired of sitting there on Sunday afternoon with your family and your children and your grandchildren there and watching some Cialis commercial?
Yeah.
That just makes me mad.
Amen.
I tell you what, they talk about things that my little grandkids, but I mean, they do now, I'm sure, they're getting older, but there was a time when they didn't understand what all them words meant, and I didn't want them to.
Amen.
They didn't need to.
Amen.
I want to enjoy their childhood for a little while. They'll be adults plenty soon enough. Some of those commercials, by the way, are just downright offensive.
Amen.
And the innuendo in some of them, you know, Bob wearing a big smile and living large. That's disgusting.
Amen.
We don't need that on television. We don't need that in our home. But we've just gotten so used to it, how people just take it in stride and don't even get upset. Well, it makes me mad.
Amen.
If I had the money to buy another TV, I'd throw a rock through it when they do that. Well, anybody with any brains knows that in contemporary society, there's a problem between boys and girls. And of course, now, the truth is there'd be a lot less problem if mamas and daddies were more on the ball and more involved.
Amen.
Amen. You see, the conduct, the behavior here between this man and his woman was easily recognizable. Amen. And now boys want to manhandle girls like a man manhandles his wife. The way they touch and embrace and hold each other. And all across our country, we got families where mamas and daddies have let the girl's boyfriend move in.
Yeah.
Right, he's staying in another room or he sleeps on the couch. Sure, baby, sure. If you're that stupid, I got some beachfront property in Arizona I want to sell you. Amen. How come your daughter's boyfriend is up there in their room and the door's closed? Well, they're studying. Yeah, they studying, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, preacher, other kids might do that, but mine don't do that. I know my children. We raised them right. You too dumb to breathe, son. You honestly, you need professional mental help. Ain't nobody raised their kids that good. So we raised our kids in church and we taught them right and wrong and we've emphasized purity and virginity and chastity and all that stuff. And I know them. You know, that Bible said it's four things that are too wonderful. Four things I understand not. The way of a serpent upon a rock. The way of a ship in the sea. The way of an eagle in the air. And the way of a man with a maid. I'm telling you, when it comes to boy and girl things, you don't know nothing.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible said, and we are them that have no confidence in the flesh. So, preacher, you just don't trust them. Gosh, am I that transparent? Don't pick that up that easy? You're right, I don't.
Amen.
I don't trust me, I don't trust you, I don't trust my kids, and I don't trust your kids. I'm here with your son, that when they growing up, they come to a point. Them hormones start to fly and the body start to change and puberty comes along and this, that, and the other, and all that's all they think about. Now, you only need three ingredients to make a thing irresistible. You want me to tell you how to make anything irresistible? Make it exciting. Make it mysterious. And forbid it. You do them three things, I guarantee you, they will bust every rule known to man to do it. You know what we do? We do them three things. So what does that mean? That means you put them on a short leash and watch them like a hawk watching a chicken. That's what. Amen. You know how long it takes to steal a kiss? Do you know how long it takes to grab a feel? Now, you see, in the Bible, when people weren't married, they were never allowed to be by themselves.
Amen.
See why? Because they assumed something was going to happen.
Right.
I'm serious. Read the Bible. Look up all the passages that deal with male and female relationship. And the assumption in the Bible is that if a man and woman are left together, it will take place. Foregone conclusion. Now, I'm 63 years old, and I'm here to tell you that from personal observation and interviews and counseling with scores of people over 35 years in the ministry, I'm here to tell you that's exactly how it happens.
Amen.
You put male and female and give it opportunity and circumstance, find one that's dissatisfied or disgruntled, and I guarantee you, anybody is susceptible.
Amen.
Anybody.
Amen.
That's the reason we just don't ever put ourselves in a place where it could happen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I just wouldn't want to live my whole life just being not trusting anybody or anything. Well, if you trust, you're a fool.
Amen.
I trust the Lord. Everybody else is suspect.
Amen.
I got to get started here somewhere, don't I? Sometimes the introduction is longer than you anticipate. Let me give you some verses here. It's amazing what all the Bible's got to say about this subject. You don't think God would give man and woman something as exciting and as rewarding and as fulfilling as personal, marital, intimate pleasure and not explain what the rules of the game are, how it's to be used, how it's to be enjoyed, what the restrictions are, what's not to be allowed, what's not acceptable. God not negligent. God put all that in the Bible.
Amen.
There's no relationship you can have that God ain't got covered in this book. Now in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, the Bible said, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. I saw a lady the other day. I was listening to a lady on some talk show, and she was complaining about the Bible, how it contradicted itself. And her example was over here in Genesis. Because one place God created Adam, the next place he creates Adam and Eve, and then the next place he is creating a wife for Adam. That's because God gave the creation in large letters, macro display. Genesis chapter 1. Then he comes back and he recapitulates. He says it again, scopes it down, and gives some detail on smaller piece. And then, chapter 3 and 4, he comes back and he backs up and does the creation a third time and adds some real fine detail on a personal level. So over here you have the whole universe and everything in it. Over here you have the creation of man and animal kingdom. And over here you have God comes back and tells you specifically how he did Adam and Eve. There is no contradiction. You just got to be able to read sixth grade English. Now, you probably can't do that if you went to an American school in the last 20 years. Genesis 2, chapter 2, verse 18 through 25. And the Lord God said, it's not good that a man should be alone. I will make an helpmate for him. I'm glad the Lord saw fit to do that. It would have been a lonely world without a partner. Amen. And I got nothing against men. I don't mind working with them. I don't mind playing golf with them. I can go fishing with them every now and then. I can sit and preach to them or get preached at from them. I enjoy it. I thank God for men. But truth is, my best relationship is not with a man. My best relationship, my most enjoyable relationship, my comfort zone, my joy zone, my fulfillment level is all found with a woman. I married her 45 years ago. Amen. I'm glad God said man needs an helpmate. It's not good for man to be alone. He knew we couldn't cook and we wouldn't clean. God knew that. Verse 20. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmate for him. Okay. There's nothing in all of nature suitable for a mate for man. Got it? Nothing. Next verse. Verse 22, if you go down through, and God took a rib and said, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from him made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Now that's about as specific and as pointed as you can get. Now here God Almighty has got the perfect opportunity. If Jim and Fred are supposed to be intimate, if a proper relationship is two men, here's the time to do it. He should have had Adam 1 and Adam 2. Amen? and said, okay, now you guys can be great fishing buddies. You guys can be great golfing partners. I mean, you two guys can just be buds. And y'all will be fulfilled and have a rewarding life. Right? There's no woman in the way. But God didn't do that. God said, I need something special. I need something unique. I need something brand new. I need something that has characteristics and things about it not found in the man. I've noticed that he is incomplete. That's why he needs somebody. And so God analyzed man and saw what it was he was lacking and what it was he needed. And he created a special creature to be compatible with a man. And after he got her all engineered and all the testing was done and the patents were good and everything was approved and all the kinks were, or most of the kinks were worked out of it, he brought and said, okay, here's your helpmate. And Adam said, she don't look like me. He said, that's because she ain't like you, stupid. I'm not making two mistakes. And God made a woman, and he gave her to the man. Now, I don't know what's so hard to figure out about that. And then them homosexuals said, well, God made us too, but he didn't make you homosexual. Amen. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. He had opportunity. He could have. Amen? But he didn't. Verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And notice there, please, ladies and gentlemen, that the wife is a girl. And shall cleave unto his wife. In the context, the only other person on the planet is Eve. Amen. Now, so as far as I'm concerned, that whole homosexual thing is just a bunch of perverts trying to get over on you. Amen. Trying to legalize and legitimize their sin and their wickedness and their perversion. They're the perverts, not us. Amen. And if I say, well, you're just homophobic. Well, yes, I am. So what? You don't like it? Lump it. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible said, now Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. Uh-oh. Now here's a trick that a husband can do that two girls can't pull off. There must be the potential for reproductive activity. And Adam knew, that's the word there, the knew there is for carnal knowledge. They had a physical relationship. And she became with child. Amen? Amen. Now, I'll tell you what. You can check out all the men on the planet, and they can't get pregnant. I know. They got that dude now, right? I knew y'all was going to bring that up. But I guarantee you, if you go back and check that thing out, you find out he ain't a real feller. Boy, they done put the scaffold to him. Amen? I don't know what he is. He don't know what he is. He's part this and part that and part something other else. But I'm here to tell you, in order to have a baby, you've got to have a womb and a uterus and ovaries and fallopian tubes and all this, that, and the other. I know all about that plumbing and stuff. I study girls. And you got to have that egg, and you got to get it down that tube and into the right place. And then you got to have somebody fertilize that egg just like a chicken or anybody else. And if that egg don't get fertilized, it don't grow. Now, I'm here to tell you, there ain't a man on the planet got all them parts. The only thing what comes with them is girls. So all this hype is just somebody making a lot of money, getting their 5 minutes of fame, their couple of minutes in the limelight, but it's just all nonsense. Whatever that thing is, it's more girl than it is anything else. Amen. And she didn't get in the condition she's in naturally. Somebody had to jump in there and carve things up and restitch them. Amen. I've got all kind of stuff to say here. Oh, I'm running out of time already. I ain't even got started. All I'm doing right now is reading verses. I ain't got to the outline. These are all the verses I got to read before we get to that. If I quit talking about them, I could probably get there, but it's hard to do. You wouldn't do no better. Sit there and say yes.
That's true.
Man. Throw rocks at me. I know you. Where was I at? I'm just going to share some verses with you, because we're probably not going to get to the outline. But I'm going to share some verses with you that deal with male-female relationships and what's permissible and what's restricted, what's forbidden, that kind of thing. For example, in Exodus chapter 22 and verse 16, the Bible said, if a man entice a maid that is not betrothed and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. He said, what does that mean in plain 2008 English? That means some dude talked some girl into giving it up. And they're not married. And if he takes her and defiles her body, he's supposed to marry her. Now, used to, we had what was called shotgun weddings. When some slick-talking scoundrel talked some sweet little girl into doing things she was not supposed to do, and they got caught at it, you had to marry her. That's the price you paid. If you did married things, if you did adult things, you paid adult consequences. You know what mamas and daddies will do now? I'm talking about Christian mamas and daddies. They'll say, well, you know, if they get married, it's just going to ruin their life. They already done that.
Amen.
They already did that. And if they don't get married, and what's that going to do to the life of the soon-to-be child? He'll be born. Then you've got to decide whose last name it's going to have. There ought not to be any decision about it. It ought to have daddy's last name.
Amen.
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 And Adam, where am I at here? When I was a young boy, I remember hearing him talking about shotgun weddings. Somebody done messed up. They said, oh, they made a mistake. Okay. Mistakes happen. And by the way, a lot less mistakes happen if there's tighter control.
Amen.
So, preacher, do you think all them young people that do that are bad? No, I don't. I think it's just natural as breathing. I think good kids make that same mistake just like bad kids make that mistake. I really do. I don't feel hard about them. Now, if you do it, make it more than once, that's a whole different thing. See? If you make the same mistake over and over again, then you're a retard. But anybody make a mistake, anybody. I believe that. And I think you ought to forgive it and move on past it. I really do. But that still doesn't relieve us from certain responsibilities. If they make that mistake, then they ought to get married. Just that simple. And it shouldn't have any, there shouldn't be any other consideration. The first thing you do is you get that baby his daddy's last name. Amen. All right. And you honor that girl. What kind of love do you think that boy has for you, young lady? I wish there's more young ladies than just one in here. It'd be a lot easier. But all y'all that ain't here, let me talk to y'all. You really think that guy loves you? If one, he would talk you into doing something your mom and daddy and your preacher and God Almighty told you was wrong to do. But he talked you into it, and he conned you, and you did it, and now you're in trouble because of it, and he won't stand up like a man. He won't marry you. He won't take away your reproach. That sucker didn't love you. He used you.
Amen.
And little old girls, you know, they're so stupid. I mean, I love them to death. I really do. But God knows sometimes they don't have a lick of sense. He loves me. We're in love. Listen, when you're 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, along through there, you spell love, L-U-S-T. Especially if you're M-A-L-E. Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 22. If a man be found lying with a woman married to an husband, then they shall both of them die, both the man that lay with the woman, and the woman shall she be she put to death. Thou shalt put evil from among you. Now what's that? That's adultery. That's a man sleeping with a married woman. That's a wicked thing. When you would steal somebody else's mate, when you would endanger another family, that's just about as wicked and low down as you can get. I mean, if you can't control yourself and you want to be a wicked, loose, licentious reprobate, okay, but do it with somebody that's single. Don't go break up somebody's home. Don't go steal somebody else's wife or somebody else's husband. You're just a sorry, low down piece of trash that does that.
Amen.
Amen. Now, the Bible said both of them are supposed to die. Man, if we enforced that, half the country would disappear. And all of Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. would just be gone. And the governor or mayor of New York, whatever it is up there, him and his wife would both be gone because they done admitted to multiple. And they still married each other. I might have forgiven one, but I ain't forgiven two. I'm going to tell you that right now. There ain't that much forgiving on this planet. Somebody say amen. But God said, if they do that, if you steal somebody else's mate, if you defile somebody else's marriage, you die for it. It's a capital offense in the Bible. Nowadays, we just make light of it and say, well, there's nothing makes me madder, more angry, quicker, I don't guess, than to hear somebody say, well, it's only sex. It's only sex. They say, well, you know, who's going to miss a slice off a pie that's already cut? You know something? I got a point there. You don't miss it. But the point is, that's not the point.
Amen.
You know what you miss? The trust. The fidelity. The confidence. The cleanness, the bond, the lack of doubt, the lack of fear, all that disappears when you cheat. And buddy, it's pretty near impossible for all the king's men and all the king's horses to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. I'm not saying it can't be done, but it's tough. And even if you put Humpty Dumpty back together again, you can still see the cracks in his shell. Amen? Oh, it's just sex. That just burns me up. There's no such thing as just. Because it involves trust and fidelity and commitment and honor and integrity. Amen. Leviticus chapter 21, verse 13. And he shall take a wife in her virginity. Girls were supposed to be virgins.
Amen.
What does that mean? That means untouched.
Amen.
Clean, pure, holy. That's the way they ought to be.
Yes.
Used to, that was a sign of pride. Girls wanted to come to their wedding bed pure. And they offer themselves in a state of holiness to their husband. Here, is a person, here is a body, here is a soul that has never been touched, never been defiled. You are the one, the only, the first. And it was a special, special thing. When's the last time you heard about a blushing bride hiding in the closet till 3 o'clock in the morning on her honeymoon? I used to hear stories like that when I was growing up. Oh man, I had on 6 pair of underwear and 3 gowns and 2 robes and a house coat. Amen. And he had to take the bolts out of the bathroom door and take it down. I was nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I was sweating bullets, boy. Not anymore. You're talking about used goods. You're talking about experienced. I talked to the folks a while back, and they got married, and I said, what'd you do on your honeymoon? She said, well, we went to so-and-so, and I went and played golf, and she went and done so-and-so. I said, why? They've been living together for 2 years. I said, why are our kids like that? Because mamas and daddies won't teach them. Mama and daddy won't talk about it. Mama and daddy's afraid to say sex. Amen. You're sitting there with a 32-inch plasma screen, LCD, whatever it is, talking about Viagra and 4-hour erections, and you can't talk about the most intimate subject on the planet to your children in order to protect them and inform them that they might protect themselves. It makes me ill. I think you ought to be able to talk about anything. I think your children ought to feel free to talk to you about anything. And I think you ought to be man enough, woman enough to learn the proper vocabulary. I don't think you ought to talk to them in street talk and gutter language. I think you ought to know the proper vocabulary and the proper parts and how they function and the whys and the why nots and the wheres and the wherefores and all the rest of that. And you ought to be able to inform them intelligently. I'm going to feel a lot better after I get this off my chest. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, marriage is honorable in all. Now look what the rest of the verse says though. See, you just can't get away from this thing. And the bed thereof undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Now, I know years and years ago, and I'm glad this is, women kind of had the idea, or they were taught or something, they picked up on the idea and had the mentality that physical relationship with her husband was just something they had to put up with. If you wanted somebody to put a roof over your head and feed you and clothe you, this is what you had to do to earn it. And it wasn't necessarily a pleasurable thing or an enjoyable thing. It was just your duty. You performed your wifely duties. That'd be a terrible mindset to have to live through that. Amen. Now the truth is, marriage is honorable. That is, it's good. And the bed thereof undefiled. There's nothing shameful. There's nothing wicked. There's nothing unclean. There's nothing impure about the relationship of a husband and wife inside the bounds of matrimony. Enjoy it. It's pleasurable. It's fun. God gave it to you. I mean, God could have fixed it so we could reproduce like fish, you know. The girl lays the eggs. The guy comes by and sprays stuff all over them and fertilizes the eggs, and they never see each other. That's how they do it. Go down to any pond during spawning season and watch. And watch the bass eat most of them little brim, by the way. I mean, God could have done it that way, but God made it where it was enjoyable. Amidst all the troubles and trials and hardships of life, with all of its uncertainties and unpleasant things and the work and the toil of the hands to make a living and all the insecurity about health and finances and all this, that, and the other, God gave a pleasure. God gave a blessing to a man and a woman in the bounds of matrimony that is sanctified and clean and holy, and that is rewarding and satisfying to both. And it is worldwide. It fits the whole human race. The black race, the white race, the yellow race, doesn't make any difference in any country, in any climate, at any time, in any generation throughout humanity. The gift of God is sufficient. Why we want to defile it and make it dirty or lewd or unclean, or why we want to talk about it secretively? I think you ought to talk about it properly. But mamas and daddies, you pretend it don't exist, or well, we'll talk to you about that when you're old enough. And when will that be? 25. That's nonsense.
Yeah.
And to teach children that it's just something, especially girls, that it's something you endure. What damage do you do when you can rob them of the peace and the joy, the fun of a personal relationship with their mate? Why take that away from them? What we need to do is teach them that it's only in the bonds of matrimony that we take a husband, we take a wife, that it's till death do we part. Leviticus 20:10. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Now, I've always believed, I cannot prove this. This is my thinking, this is my speculation. But I've always believed that this is what Christ wrote with his finger. Remember when the Pharisees brought the woman taken in adultery and to Christ, and the Lord is sitting there on the sidewalk, and they said, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act." Now, last time I checked, it takes two for the very act.
Amen.
One cannot do this thing alone. This takes a duet. It takes a boy and a girl. Amen. So if they caught her in the very act, they caught him. Now, they said, "Moses in the law said that she that committeth adultery is supposed to be stoned. What sayest thou?" And he said, and he stooped down and he wrote something in the dirt. And then they one by one left, beginning with the youngest, even to the eldest. What do you think he wrote? I believe that he wrote Leviticus 20:10. The man and the woman. Now, if they caught her in the very act, they had to catch the man too. Well, where's he at? The world's always had a double standard.
Amen.
They've always thought that what was good for the goose is not necessarily good for the gander. Woman's supposed to be chaste and pure and holy and stay at home, raise the kids, and it's okay for you to get out and mess around. Sow your wild oats. Have a mistress. It ain't.
Amen.
It ain't. It's just as wicked for you to do that. If she's supposed to be chaste and pure, you would blow a gasket if she slept with somebody else, then you ought not to do it.
Amen.
Amen. And God said, they both shall be stoned. Now, why do you think they didn't bring the man? Supposition again. I can't prove this. But I figure, just knowing human nature like I do, they didn't bring him because he's one of them. That's what I think. I think he was a Pharisee. And I think they caught that old boy in somebody else's crib. And I think they come down there and they caught him getting it on. And they snatched her up, sorry hussy, and they drug him down there before the Lord and said, "Hey, let me hear what we got." And the Lord wrote Leviticus 20:10. And they knew what Leviticus 20:10 said. They said, "Oh my, I think we messed up here. This is a little boo-boo on our part." And they just scampered right out of there. Amen? But that's exactly what the world does today. I know in Washington, D.C. and in Hollywood, they're no indicators of anything because they don't play by anybody's rules. That's just two cesspools, all that is. But down here in the real world, like York, South Carolina, and Clover, and Lancaster, and Charlotte, and Chester, and places like that, in the real world with real people, we still get upset about that kind of stuff. Amen? We're not quite like them yet. We're headed that way, but we're not there yet. Oh, man, I'm past time already. Y'all want to hear more, or y'all want to quit? Oh, you want to hear more? Okay. Leviticus 20:13. Here's one of those hateful passages. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Man, you ought to kill them, and they're responsible for it. It's not even on you. Amen. But I didn't say that. And I'm not going to read you Romans chapter 1, 26 and 27. Let me read you this one. Let's end with this one. We won't even do the message. This is just the last verse. 1 Corinthians 7, 2. I love this verse. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and every woman have her own husband. Amen. To do what? What was the reason for it? It wasn't to have babies. I sat in a Bible conference one time and listened to this guy get up and wax eloquent for about 45 minutes, and he had the only reason for marriage was procreation. According to him, you could never have sex just to have fun. I thought, man, I ain't going to your church. It said, nevertheless, to avoid fornication. So you need to get a wife, you need to get a husband, so you don't have to have sexual relationships outside of marriage. Unclean, unsanctified, maybe dirty, maybe diseased. See? If you get married and you have a monogamous relationship, I'm a virgin when I get married, she's a virgin when we get married, we never sleep with anybody else, I do what I ain't got to do, I ain't got to worry about nothing.
Amen?
They come on there and they got all that AIDS advertising, and they say everybody ought to get tested. I thought, for what?
That's right.
I don't need to get tested.
Amen.
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 They came on there the other day. I saw an advertisement. It's on television now, public TV. And it said 70% of the people who have genital herpes caught it from their partner when they had no signs of an outbreak. Well, I ain't worried about that one either.
Amen.
You know? Amen. Say, why? Well, because I got married 45 years ago, and that's been enough.
Amen.
That's been sufficient.
That's right.
I'm about to decide there ain't nobody out there got anything she ain't got. Somebody said one time, you know, after a certain point, you just kind of put it on autopilot anyway. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know what the big deal is about playing the field. It's just, it's overrated, so it's hype, see? Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and every woman her own husband. God is in favor of marriage.
Amen.
Amen? Now, there's some things you could do better if you were single. If you could be single and not lust. The Bible said it's better to marry than to burn. I mean, if you're going to stay single and you're going to lust after every girl, every woman that walks by, you need to get married. If you can't be single and look at women with pure thoughts and a clean heart, you need to get married.
Amen.
Amen? Take care of that problem. But if you can be single and keep a clean mind, you could be of more service to God. You would not be distracted with wife and family and children. Amen? But not everybody has this gift. Paul said, I would that all men were even as I am, single. But every man hath his proper gift of God. Amen. Now, I would never make it as a monk. Now, I bet most of y'all wouldn't either. So you need to get married. And once you get married, you are entitled to to the fruits, the blessings, and the pleasures of that relationship. Amen? We need to teach that lesson to our children.
Amen.
To our grandchildren. The truth is, we need more churches teaching what I just taught tonight.
That's right.
Amen. Need to do it properly. Need to do it with dignity. But we need to do it clearly and simply. We need to do it understandably. And we need to do it often enough to reinforce the truth of it so that it becomes ingrained in those little heads of mush. Amen? And it shouldn't embarrass you, and it shouldn't humiliate you, and it shouldn't make you nervous, and you ought not to break out in a sweat when it's mentioned. Somebody say amen. Amen. And if Christian moms and dads would do that with their children in an age-appropriate fashion, certain information's appropriate for certain ages, and, you know, I understand all, and I agree with all that, by the way. Some of our young people wouldn't make the mistakes and make the messes out of their life that a lot of them are making. And I don't know about you, but the longer I live, the more I see how important it is to teach and train them young people when they're really young. Just like our children's challenge. You can't teach them about God too young. I'm tired of living in the Bible Belt. Down here with every kind of Baptist church you can imagine, and running into boys and girls all the time that have never set foot in a church, that don't know one single Bible story, that have no concept of biblical right and wrong, what's permissible, what's not permissible, what's honorable, what's not honorable. And Lord willing, we're going to do what we can as a church to make sure that doesn't happen to the young people who come here. Amen, amen, amen. All right, let's bow our head. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Pray that you'd help us and enable us, give us wisdom. I pray for the moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas. Lord, I know that sometimes grandparents can have access and be able to say things that sometimes moms and dads don't have the time to, don't have the wisdom to, or don't have the inclination to. I pray use us to help the young people in our church, our community, our families. We'll thank you and praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm so tired and